Morning. Today's Daf Menachos Mem Alef. We are in Mem Amud Beis. We're starting on the bottom of the Amud. Amar Reb Zera, Amar Reb Masa, Amar Shmuel. More halachas on tzitzit. Tzitzit has been the topic of discussion here in the fourth parak of Menachos. It has been since the beginning of the parak. Parak started back on Daf Lamed Ches. Truth of the matter is, the Mishnah has already started with tzitzit at the tail end of the fourth of the third parak of Menachos. But this fourth parak of Menachos now, even though we're in Seder Kachim and you would think that we're talking about Karbanos, but we are in a just wonderful digression of the Gemara in terms of the halachas of tzitzis, so we continue in the Gemara today. I'm Rabbi Zera, I'm Rabbi Masa, I'm Shmuel. The Gemara quotes, in the name of Shmuel, Tchelas Ein Ba Mishum Kalayim. That Tchelas is not subject to Kalayim, but Afilu B'Talas Petura, and even if it goes on top of a Talas Petura. Now, the term Talas Petura is an unusual term that's being described over here. We're going to get to that in just a moment, but this goes back to what we learned yesterday, that if I take Tchelas and I put it in a Beged of Sadin. So this is yesterday's sugya. Yesterday's big sugya was a linen garment. The linen garment maker, did according to the strict letter of the law, so you can attach wool strings to it, even though woolen linen is an iser of shatnes. But nevertheless, for the mitzvah of tzitzis, as long as you're doing the mitzvah of bishlei musa, as long as I'm fulfilling the mitzvah in its totality, so you're allowed to wear woolen linen in a beged of tzitzis. So the garment is made out of linen. The strings that you knot on them are going to be made up of wool. That would be fine. And as we learned in yesterday's daf, and the day before, so whenever you have wool strings, whenever you have tchelis strings is going to be made out of wool. That is the understanding of the word tchelis. Tchelis is not just referring to the color, but generally the material that it's connected to, and it's made on wool strings. So therefore, you have your tchelis strings, which are wool, by definition wool, put on a linen garment, so that would be okay. If you, however, go back to yesterday's daf, what did we learn together? That there was a decree not to wear a linen garment with wool strings. Why not? So the majority of yesterday's daf dedicated itself to discovering, or understanding, I should say better, what the reason would be. Why is it that we are not allowed to wear wool strings on a linen garment? And the Gemara proposed a number of proposals yesterday. I'll show you Rashi later this morning, where Rashi seems to really highlight one of the numerous reasons that we went over yesterday. Fine. So, Tchelas Ein Ba Mishum Kalayim. So what our Gemara now is telling us in the name of Shmuel, but really focus on Rebbe Zera. Let's call this right now a memra of Rebbe Zera. And you'll see why I say that in just a moment. That if I have Tchelas, so it's not going to be subject to Kalayim. And even if it goes on a Talas Petura. Now, Talas Petura, that's a strange language. Meaning, even if the Beged Me'ikar Hadin is not obligated in the Mitzvah Tzitzis, it still would be okay. And you could take and you could wear Kalayim. Now, that, of course, is totally ununderstandable. I make up words, right? It doesn't make sense. There's only a heter to wear kalayim only if you're fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis. If you're putting it on a garment that's not obligated in the mitzvah of tzitzis, and I throw kalayim on there. Now, let's just try to wrap our head around this. If it's a beggar that's not obligated in tzitzis, so that means it's not either wool or linen. So if it's not wool or if it's not linen, so then how could you be violating kalayim? But that's pretty straightforward, though. In other words, of the strings that you're wearing, two of them are going to be wool and two of them are going to be linen. Okay, so just for purposes of, you know, setting ourselves up. So if I have strings of wool and linen, and I attach it to a garment that's not obligated me'ikar din in the mitzvah of tzitzis, so let's go back to what we said a couple days ago. Let's say I'm putting it on a cotton garment or on a silk garment. So under those circumstances, what the Gemara now seems to be saying is that's okay. And of course, we have to understand that it's not okay. Meaning, I only have a heter to violate the issue of kalayim only if I'm wearing tzitzis min ha-Torah. So at face value, we're hearing this and we don't understand this. So Eleman, the Gemara now goes on to... Oh, good. Oh, you're already ahead. So Elema, so the Gemara suggests now, if you say delay space shiura, so that really what's happening right now is that we don't have a shiur. Tanya, the Gemara says, but that also is not to, we can't understand that. Talisha akad miskasebo rosha verubo. What is the shiur talis? So the Gemara over here does not talk in terms of linear measurements, in terms of what is the shiur of a beged that a person has to wear in order so that's chayv and tzitzis. However, the shiur that the Gemara does use, is basically something that an adult would generally wear. That's the term the Gemara uses to describe the shear of a beged. So talisha akad miskasa barosh verubo, if the talis is big enough where it can fit a minor. Vehagadol yotze bo derech harai, and an adult will use it, not all the time, but on occasion. An adult would not be embarrassed to wear such a garment, meaning it's big enough where it basically covers him to the point where he go out in public in that manner. So chayev is betzitzis, so such a garment would be chayev and tzitzis. Now exactly what is that, what are the dimensions of such a baggage? So it's discussed amongst the Rishonim, amongst the Poskim. Not our discussion for now. The Gemara simply says, fine. Eina katam is kasa ba rosh v'ruba, afa pishagadu yotze ba rai, petura. Now let's say it is a garment that's not even big enough for a katan. And let's even say that a gadol would go on an occasion, but that's not enough. Meaning that's not going to get you to the shear where the beged is going to be chayev and tzitzis. And then the Braisa says, and the same thing is going to be true regarding Kalayim. What is the same thing that's going to be true regarding Kalayim? The Gemara's very next question. And after hearing about that, the Gemara says, I don't understand. My v'chein le'inyan kalayim, what did that mean? Ilema v'chein le'inyan yisur kalayim. Are we talking about the yisur of kalayim? It can't be. V'anantanan, ein arai b'kalayim. We have a Mishnah in kalayim, ninth parak, that tells us that there is no idea of arai when it comes to kalayim. As Rashi over here articulates, that means to say that ein din arai b'kalayim. When we're talking about the Isra of Kalayim, it does not matter how big a patch we're talking about. As long as it is a functional swatch of fabric, if I make wool and linen into that fabric, I violate the Isra of Kalayim. So there's no minimum shear as it relates to Kalayim, so that can't be what we're talking about. It means vis-a-vis the issue of sudden betzitzis, meaning that in order for there to be an allowance of having wool and linen in the same garment for tzitzis, it has to be large enough where it's chayev in the mitzvah of tzitzis. So, we have just all learned together that in order to be required in the mitzvah of tzitzis and the allowance to violate the issur of kalayim, there's a minimum shear. That's what we all just learned together. That there has to be a minimum shear. Now, that minimum shear is, it's got to be enough to cover a minor, where if an adult were to wear that garment, he'd be okay on occasion wearing it in public. In other words, but there's a shear. That's the point. That there's a shear in terms of the mitzvah of tzitzis, and there's a shear in terms of the allowance to violate the issur of kalayim. So once again, we return back to our original question. So when Rabbi Zera says that tchelas ein bo mishum kalayim v'afilu b'taras peturah, even in an exempt talis, what in terms of shear, there's no such thing. Meaning either it's obligated in tzitzis and there's an allowance to violate kalayim, or it's not, and that's it. So the Gemara says elamai peturah hitel lemutalis. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to go back to a discussion that we had in yesterday's daf, at the end of yesterday's daf. I have a beged. It has four corners. In the four corners, it already has kasher tzitzios in the four corners. And what do? So I attach another four tzitzios to the four corners. So now I have eight tzitzios, eight sets of strings altogether in the four corners of the beged. We learned in yesterday's daf, Rabbi Zera was making the argument that such a beged with the eight tzitzios attached to the four corners would be kasha, or kshera, right? Amata lemutelis. So this is something we learned yesterday. And so what Rabbi Zera is teaching us is the following. So the Gemara says that if I have a garment that already has tzitzis on it, oh, so now I understand the term. So ve'afilu betalis petura, even if the talis is exempt. Now what does that mean, the talis is exempt? Because it already has tzitzis on them. So now on an exempt talis, meaning it already has tzitzis on it, if I want to go ahead and attach kalayim, meaning let's say it was a linen garment. Now I know in yesterday's daf we're not allowed to use a linen garment. But if I have a linen garment, and now I want to attach another four tzitzios on it, that would be fine, and even if those additional four represent an issur of kalayim. And Rashi over here, really interesting Rashi over here writes that Rashi divra maska lamai petura. So dekam lel v'afilu betalis petura, could go and hit to lamutalis. Rashi writes, because when the Torah gives an allowance to put shatnez on tzitzis, legamre ishtaru. The Torah gives a heter gamur, meaning in the classic discussion that we have throughout Shas of whether something is hutra or dechuya, whether the Torah just, you know, kind of acknowledges that it's okay versus it is absolutely perfectly bona fide, it's legitimate, right? Hutra versus dechuya, or in the way that I just offered it. Dechuya versus Hutra. So Rashi saying over here that the heter of wearing shatnez when one is fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis is heter legamur. And here you see a perfect illustration of this idea. Because over here, what do we have? We have a talis which you already fulfilled the mitzvah of tzitzis. And now I'm going to put more tzitzis on it. And now I'm going to be violating the issur of shatnez. One can make the argument, no, you can't do that. In other words, you already fulfilled the mitzvah. There's no heter. There's no heter for shanes. And what we're learning now, according to Rabbi Zera, is yes, there is, because since it's heter legamor, since the once you're fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis, there's a heter gamor to wear shanes, even if those tzitzis that I'm wearing are quote unquote extra. There still is an allowance to do that.
How do you explain the concept of shlemus in this case? Because you already fulfilled your mitzvah.
Right. So you fulfilled the mitzvah bishlemus, meaning you did it. You just did it with extra. Now, if I can, by the way, just in other words, perhaps what you're asking is, what about Baal Tosef? Right. Okay. What about Baal Tosef? So that's a legitimate question. The Gemara doesn't really raise that. The Gemara yesterday's daf kind of touched on that issue. But according to Rabbi Zera wasn't bothered by that. Okay, and it's fair to ask why not. It's more than fair to ask. But in the meantime, however, that's what Rabbi Zera meant. The only problem with this whole pshat, now that we finally do have a pshat, is Vahamar Rabbi Zera Chadazimna. Go back to yesterday's daf. Yeah. Go back to the idea of Talos and Mutelos. That was Rabbi Zera's idea. So basically what we learned in the end of yesterday's daf, the beginning of today's daf, is just really a repeat of what Rabbi Zera said yesterday. So the Gemara says, you're right, Chad Michal Chaver to Itmar. You're right. Rabbi Zera said it on one occasion, and then what we did is we deduced the other halacha from the first halacha. Now, it's really interesting. Which one was the first halacha? The one we learned yesterday or the one we learned today? So Rashi says that the one we learned yesterday is the original statement, and the one we learned today is a deduction. Tosef says, I don't understand. If you look carefully at the beginning of where we started today, it's Amar Rebbe Zera, Amar Rav Masna, Amar Shmuel. Hard to imagine that we're making a deduction on today's Rebbe Zera's halacha from yesterday's one. Meanwhile, Rebbe Zera said it in the name of other Amorim. Okay. Whichever the case is, Rebbe Zera said it once, we deduce from the other. Let's continue in the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. We're in Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. We're about 10 lines from the top of the Amud. Talos Kfula Chayev is Betzitzis. If I have a folded over Talos, so the fold is going to be Chayev and Tzitzis. Now, it's a little bit hard to illustrate and see exactly what this is going to look like. But basically, what I did is I have a four-corner garment, simple four-corner garment. And what you put a fold in it, and that fold now is going to represent more corners in the garment. So what the Gemara is now saying, what the Bryce is saying is that those folds now, being that they represent new corners, are going to be chayv and tzitzis. Rabbi Shimon Poter. Now Rabbi Shimon disagrees. He says, no, those folds are not going to be chayv and tzitzis. V'shav mishim kafla v'tafra shechayavis. Now, if you make the folds more permanent by stitching the folds in, and so now we have permanent corners made by the stitching, everyone's in agreement that you're going to be chayv. So the Gemara on the last point says, that last point is hard to understand. Tafra pshita. If I stitched new corners into the garment, of course it's going to be chayv and tzitzis. Now, if it bothers you, by the way, that we have more than four corners, let's say right now we have six corners with the new fold that I put in, or even just five corners, but whatever the case is. If it bothers you, well, that you have more than four, so we've already said many times that a garment that has more than four corners is still chayv and tzitzis. How many tzitzis do you have to put on? So at the end of the third perek, so we debated that issue in the Gemara. Whether I should put four or whether I should put on every one of the corners, and possibly, says the Gemara, that's a machlokus between the Tanayim at the end of the third parak between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shmuel. But in the meantime, however, so that doesn't bother us, meaning the fact that it has more than four corners is fine. The fact that I stitch it, now we have full agreement, the Gemara says, pshita, that's obvious. So the Gemara says, Lotzricha denakta besticha. The Gemara says, well, maybe it wasn't a good job stitching. Maybe what we did is we just kind of pinned it together. Or Rashi says, basted, meaning it was a stitching, but it was a really loose stitching job, and that would be a chiddush. Even then, everyone would agree that you have to put on that you'd have to put on tzitzis on the new corners. Rava Barhuna Ikla Lebe Rava Bar Rav Nachman Chazia Hu Mechse Talz Kefula Verami Lechute Ilave Kfela. Okay, so the Gemara tells a story where Rava Bar Rav Huna went to the house of Rava Bar Rav Nachman, and what he does is, he puts on a talis kfula. It was a folded over talis. And in this folded over talis, so now, let's imagine over here a sheet that was both folded over into two. I say sheet, but really it was some sort of garment that was folded over into two. So basically on one side you had a bunch of corners, but let's call it two for now, for our purposes. And let's call the folded end also another two corners. And so what we have right now are four corners. I understand in one of the ends it's really another two, but for our purposes of our discussion, you'll see why I'm doing this. So we have on the non-folded end corners, and on the folded end we have corners as well. And so what he does is he puts tzitzis on the four ends, okay, on the two non-folded ends and on the two folded ends. And now, what happens is the fold unfolds. And so now, if I'm doing a good job picturing, trying to create a picture of what this looks like, so now as it unfolds, so now I have tzitzios in the middle of the garment, and of course, not on a corner. And so now, aside from it looking strange, so the instructions are very clear. Well, first let me get through the story. If shete v'asechute v'kam lahaderesha, like I just described, where now I have tzitzis going on the, coming out to be in the middle of the garment, where there was once a fold, but there's no longer a fold over there. Amalei lav hainu kanaf. And so now, one Rava points to the other Rava and says, so right now, those tzitzis are not in a corner, take off the tzitzis that are not in the corner. Dekazer rachmana baraisa. Sorry, let me read the whole statement again. Lav hainu kanaf dekazer rachmana baraisa. Asa shajay ichse glime achrite. So what does he do? So he takes off the tzitzis, thank you very much. And then what he does, he goes to his drawer and he takes out a new garment, new four-corner garment that had tzitzis on them. Amarle. And so now one Rava says to the other Rava, Mi svaris chovas gavrahu, chovas talasu, zil ramile. And now we get to a fundamental debate in the Gemara. We touched on it yesterday, but here the Gemara is going to be discussing it straightforward, and that is, the obligation of tzitzis, is it an obligation on you, or is it an obligation on your garment? And what Rava, one Rava is arguing now to the other Rava is, look, I'm very happy that you took off the talus. I'm very happy that you took off the tzitzis, but your job is not done yet. You have a four-corner garment. Your four-corner garment belongs, needs tzitzis on it. Even if you're currently not wearing it, it's an obligation on the beged, not on you per se. Obviously, if right, it's only because you're owning the beged that there presents an obligation. But according to Rava, this obligation is principally on the beged, and even though you're not currently wearing the beged, if it's a four-corner garment, you need to have tzitzis on it. Okay, so we have clearly in the Gemara a position taken by the Amora Rava, which is that talis, that tzitzis, is a chovras beged, not a chovras gavra. Lema misayele. The Gemara says, I think I have a proof. A Gemara that we've already seen once, we get to see it now a second time in the fourth parak. Chasidim Rishon and Kevin Shargo Boshal Shayu Matilam Batcheles. You have these chasidim that were so excited to put tzitzis on their begin that even as they're finishing the begin, so they're getting to the last 3 inches of begin, but now that it's obligated in tzitzis, so what do? So they put tzitzis on the begin right before it's finished. Now, what the Gemara is proposing is what do you see over here? It's an obligation on the person, an obligation on the garment. Sounds like it's an obligation on the garment. Meaning, if it's an obligation on the person, wait until you're done. Well, by virtue, right? Because they presumably they feel that's an obligation on the garment. Once the garment is close to finish, and once the garment has reached the point now where it's obligated tzitzis, so they slap a pair of tzitzis right on it. So the Gemara says, "No shani chasim de machmir nashay." The Gemara says, "Okay, but I'll tell you what." Those chasidim, so they, in their excitement, they're putting on tzitzis. It could very well be that it's a chov on the person, not on the talis. And as far as them putting it on before the garment is finished, just simply because of their excitement for the mitzvah. Upligi de malacha. And here you're going to get to one of the more interesting lines that we're going to find in Shas. And that is that the position of Rava is argued by a malach. Now, generally speaking, malachim don't take positions in Torah. Generally speaking, so they don't have an opinion and they don't get involved. So the idea that the Gemara is expressing over here is, to say the least, unusual. Let's just keep it there. It's an unusual idea, and Rashi over here just simply says that we are talking about a malach. The malach ishkach l'Rav Kitina d'michseh sadine. So now, the malach is encountering Rav Kitina, who is wearing a linen garment. Now, as we learned in yesterday's daf, when you have a linen garment, so you don't put on tzitzis. Now, exactly what that means when we say don't put on tzitzis, so the Rishonim debate exactly what that means. Rashi is of the opinion is that you don't put on tcheles, meaning you're still going to put on linen tzitzis, but you don't put on tcheles. Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion that it's patur from tzitzis altogether. We're going to see in the Gemara now, it sounds a little bit more like Rashi than that of Rabbeinu Tam, but in any event. So he was wearing a linen garment. Amalei ketina, ketina sedina b'kaita v'sar v'la b'sisa, tzitzis shel tcheles matei alaham. So the Malach now is giving mussar to Rav Ketina. So let's go over your wardrobe. So in the summertime, so you're wearing the linen, which would make sense. In other words, linen is a nice light material. It's a summertime, so you're wearing linen. So you're not going to be putting tchelis on the linen as per yesterday's daf. And sarvela b'stifsa tzitzis, and sarvela b'stifsa. And then when we get to the fall, so what you're doing is you're wearing a sarvela. Rashi explains the sarvela is kind of like a shirt we wear, where it's round in nature. There are two corners, but that's two corners. That's not four corners, and therefore it's not chayv and tzitzis altogether. And so what we have over here is that the Malach says to Rav Ketina, so based on your wardrobe, you are never obligated in tzitzis. Tzitzis shel tchelis mateela. So you're never putting on tzitzis shel tchelis. Now, if you read the Gemara carefully, like we just did, the Gemara says tzitzis shel tchelis, meaning it sounds like he had some form of tzitzis on the linen, just not tchelis tzitzis on the linen. Good. Anyway, Amrlei Anishasto Asay. So Rav Ketina doesn't take the Musar to heart so quickly. And he says, is there going to be an onish on violating an asay? So Amrlei Bizman Di'ikar Rizcha Inshin. So the Malach says to Rav Ketina, sure there is. Meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry. And so you're right. There's no formal onish per se for every asay that a person is mevatel. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, you know, is put to the test and you already are you already are creating distance from yourself in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts this into the mix. So Iyamad Bishlam Chovas Gavur Hu Ainu Demechayev Dolo Karame. Now the Gemara says now Chovas Gavur or Chovas Begin. So the Gemara is right now trying to make the argument that it's a Chovas Gavur. Why? Because how else would you be liable if not putting it on? So the Gemara says Eli Iyamar Chovas Talis Hu Halam Mechayve. But if it's a Chovas on the Talis, it's not obligated in Tzitzis. So why should HaKadosh Baruch Hu be angry with you? So the Gemara says, okay, but I'm not following this line of thinking. Elamai Chovas Gavur Hu. So let's go back to what you proposed. Okay, so this is an obligation of the person. Nehi dechayv rechmana ki michse talis de bas chiyuva. V'chi michse talis de lav bas chiyuva hi, michayav de rechmana. So the Gemara says, okay, but I still don't understand. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be upset, right? Only when you're wearing a garment that's obligated in tzitzis. If you're not wearing a garment that's obligated in tzitzis, and in Rav Ketina's wardrobe, he had a linen garment that is pater from tzitzis, albeit it's pater midrabanan, but what difference does it make? It's pater from tzitzis, and he has his two-corner garment, which is pater and tzitzis according to everybody. So in your argument, I still don't even get it. How could you argue that's a chovas gavra as opposed to a chovas beged? Even as a chovas gavra, the man is not wearing a garment that's obligated in tzitzis. So what discussion are we even having? To which the Gemara says, Ella hachikamar. So the Gemara says, this is really the musar that the Malach was giving to Rav Ketina. Tatzdika lemifter nafshech mitzitzis. Meaning, look, right now, technically speaking, you're not obligated in tzitzis. You're not wearing a garment that's obligated, that would make a person obligated in tzitzis, so you're not obligated in tzitzis. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be upset with is the following. You have an opportunity to put yourself in a position to be chayv in putting on tzitzis. Meaning right now, you're going out of your way to choose kinds of clothing, both in material and in shape. You're wearing the type of clothing that's not obligated in tzitzis, but at the very same time, you can just, with a couple of wardrobe changes, you can wear garments that would be obligated in tzitzis. So where the anger lies, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be displeased with you, is the idea that, yes, the garments you're wearing right now are pater and tzitzis. The garments are not obligated. You're not obligated. Perfectly true. But when you had an opportunity to go ahead and to put on a garment that would be chayv and tzitzis, and you didn't do so, for that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be displeased.
Which is what chavas gavra means that you have to put it on.
It's not clear. You're right. I hear you. It's not clear at this end of the Gemara Sugya whether or not the Gemara is still trying to defend chavas gavra as opposed to chavas beged, or the Gemara is just simply explaining what the Malach is saying. Meaning it could very well be that at this point in time now, the Gemara is just simply saying, this is what the Malach is saying, and this does not necessarily play into the discussion of whether it's a chavas gavra or it's a chavas beged. The Gemara only brought it in as a siyua, as a support, but as we have now fully explained what the Malach was saying, so it could very well be, this is no longer germane to the discussion. By the way, of course, from this Gemara, what we see clearly is that even though our mode of dress nowadays does not have us wear any kind of four-corner garment, but it's clear from the Gemara's conclusion over here that what a person should do is a person should go out of his way to wear a garment that would be chayv and tzitzis, so that a person has an opportunity to wear tzitzis all the time. Meaning that's the clear conclusion from our Gemara over here, and hence the minhag of talis katan. Meaning back in the day, so the clothing that they wore actually had four corners on it, and so therefore you're obligated to mitzvah tzitzis. So this is not a new phenomena. Obviously our mode of dress is different than 100 years ago, 200 years ago, certainly 500 years ago, certainly 1,000 years ago. But the idea of the Gemara is that we should go out of our way to put on a garment that would be obligated in tzitzis.
That supports the Gavra issue. That supports...
Again, could be, I could argue otherwise. Yes?
This doesn't fall under what you said, that you require and bringing an Ola? It's not a different category. Hashem displeased, but you don't have to bring Ola.
There's no, for a carbon Ola, there is no obligation to bring a carbon Ola. There is a recommendation to bring a carbon Ola if a person was Mavatal, say, it's not a Chiyuv.
Would this fall under that?
Could be.
Or is it different?
I don't know. Well, it's a fair question.
It says in his notes that he makes himself vulnerable to heavenly wrath when he is aroused on account of other deeds.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right. Right.
So
okay.
It's like an attitude. It's an
attitude. Right. Right. I'm Rav Tuvi Bar Kizna. I'm Rav Shmuel Kli Kufstin. I'm sorry. That if I have a Kli Kufsa, Rashi over here explains the a talis that's fit to have tzitzis on it, even though it's folded, even though it's in your drawer, it's obligated in tzitzis. Meaning Shmuel over here is taking a very clear position on this debate, on this discussion of whether it's chovas gavra, chovas beged. He clearly is of the opinion that it's a chovas beged. Umode Shmuel bezakin she'asa lechvoda shepetura. Now, if you're making a beged for a mace, otherwise what we refer to as tachrichin, so it's exempt from the mitzvah of tzitzis. My tam asher techasaba merachmana haylav leichsuye avide vaishaita. When the Torah gives instruction, an obligation for a person to put tzitzis on his beged, it's only for kisui, only when you're wearing it for to protect you from the elements. When you are putting tachrichin on a mace, it is not there to protect him from the elements. It's there for kavod, it's there for honor, but it's not there for kisui. Vada raminale. So under those circumstances, I'm sorry, vayishaita vada raminale. So the Gemara says, so even though there is no idea of asher techaseba, but still we're going to put tzitzis on the tachrichin. Why should that be? Mishim loig l'rash cheref aseyu. Because we know that the pasuk in Mishle says that if you make fun of somebody who's poor, so that's it's blasphemy, meaning it's a terrible thing. So somebody is in a position of being destitute, so you should not make fun of them. The Gemara always quotes this pasuk in the context of when somebody's dead and is considered poor vis-a-vis mitzvos, is obviously in a position where they're unable to do mitzvahs, so don't mock and don't ridicule. And so therefore, the Gemara over here says, so therefore, when you're preparing tachrichin for a person, so you should put tzitzis on the garment. Now, the Gemara, of course, here is assuming that the garment that the tachrichin you're putting on is a four-corner garment, but in other words, you should be putting tzitzis on the tachrichin. And this is a long discussion, not to be had right now. And if you want to see the Gemara Nida and Daf Samech Aleph, and the Tosfos over there, so basically, and Tosfos, by the way, comes up a bunch of places throughout Shas, discussing this very topic, and that is that we get confused by two Gemaras. One Gemara, for example, the one we just learned together, says very clearly that when you have a mace and you're preparing tachrichin for him, so what you're going to do is you're going to put a talis on him with tzitzis. We just learned that together. And meanwhile, there's another Gemara, the Gemara is really in Brachos, there's another, but it's in a couple of other places as well, that says that when you're walking through a cemetery, so what you're supposed to do is not show your tzitzis, but you're supposed to hide your tzitzis. Why? Because of Loic Larush, because you don't want to mock him. So in other words, from the perspective of the mace, so there you actually put tzitzis on him, but from the perspective of the person walking through the Beis HaKvaros, you actually are to hide your tzitzis. And what's the difference between those two Gemaras? Why on the mace do you go out of where you put tzitzis based on Loic Larush, and when you're walking past the cemetery you hide your tzitzis? Because of Loic Larush it's a little confusing. And so the Rishonim all give approaches in terms of how to understand it. We're not going to go through the discussion right now. In fact, even Tosfos himself says, see what I wrote in Masechta Nida. So but it's a very, very worthwhile discussion. Amar Echva, Amar of Yehuda. Tal Shenikra Chutz L'Shosh Yitfor Toch Shalosh Lo Yitfor. Sorry, let me read that again. Let me read that better. Tal Shenikra Chutz L'Shosh Yitfor Toch Shalosh Lo Yitfor. Okay, and now, you're wearing a garment. and a little bit of the end tears off. If it's outside of three, so then you stitch it up. If it's within three, then you don't stitch it up. This goes back to a point that we made in yesterday's daf. If it's within three tfachim, no. Let me say that again. Let me say it better. If it's three etzbaos from the corner, so that means now that that corner is still obligated in tzitzis. What you may end up doing is taking those fringes that are at loose end, and you may end up using that as your tzitzis. The problem, as we discussed in yesterday's Gemara, that's tasa v'lo mina asui. Then you're doing it out of order. The correct order of operation is first make the beged, then put the tzitzis on. So, but if I have the strings already there present, and then I finish the beged with that, that's no good. So the Gemara is fine. Outside of three etzbaos, however, so there.
Where about it's talking? Like here in the corner?
Yeah. So, but outside of three etzbaos, so then it's not going to be obligated in tzitzis, and therefore there would not be a problem. The Gemara quotes the Brice as well. So over here, the Gemara quotes a Brisa, which makes the same point, although admittedly, the Gemara doesn't make much of it, but the Brisa actually brings a machlokus on this issue, and the Gemara doesn't comment on that. But anyway, Vishavin. But here's where we also have full agreement. If you have a swatch of fabric from another garment, that is one amma by one amma, which is obviously a large amount of fabric, but I can't attach it to another pair of tzitzis because then we once again walk into the problem of tasa v'lo mina asui. V'shavin shemevi tchelis mimakom acher v'tolaba. However, if you have strings from another garment, so what you can do is take the strings from the other garment and attach it to this garment. Uvolvad shelo tehei mufsekes. As long as the strings are not ripped or broken. In other words, as long as the strings are intact. Now, that seems to be pretty straightforward. In fact, it's so straightforward, Tosfos himself wonders, what did we just learn together? So, but anyway, but the Gemara points out the obvious chiddush over here of the last part of the Braisa, Shema minah matir mi meged lebeged. And so we get on to a discussion which we have here, which we saw back in Masech Shabbos a long time ago, and that is, can I take tzitzis and move them from one beged to another beged? What's the concern? What's the consideration? The consideration really is bizayon, meaning that I have a garment with that's chayv and tzitzis. I have tzitzis on it, and then for whatever reason, now there could be very, very compelling reasons, but for whatever reason, I'm taking the tzitzis from one beged and attaching to another beged. It's a bizayon mitzvah. In other words, I am now taking a beged and I'm having it now bereft of tzitzis. So it's a bizayon mitzvah. But clearly over here, the Braisa didn't have any problem with it whatsoever. Shema mina matirim beged lebeged. So the Gemara says, Dilma di balai. Then the Gemara says, now, I wouldn't go so far to say that you can do it universally all the time. It could very well be that in this particular case, the other garment that I took the tzitzis from is basically worn out. In other words, it's an unwearable beged, and then under those circumstances, it would be okay. Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara now continues quoting another Braisa. Tal shekulo tchilas. If I have now a beged that's made up of blue wool. Komi nitzavon and peturim ba, chutz mi kala ilan. So you can put any color you want on it except for kala ilan. Now, kala ilan already, second time we're hearing about kala ilan. We're going to, kala ilan is going to pop up numerous times over the course of these sugyas. Kala ilan is a dye of the same color as tchilas, but it's not good for tchelis, meaning tchelis has to come from the animal, right? It has to come from the snail, from the chilazon animal. So if you can manufacture the blue using some other chemical compound to manufacture the blue, even if it produces the same color, it's not going to be good. So kala ilan was a counterfeit tchelis. It produced the same blue, but it doesn't come from the chilazon, therefore it's not going to be good. It's not going to be acceptable. So over here, as we've already discussed numerous times, but let's say it again. If I'm coloring strings with kala ilan, so halachically, what color is that? White. So basically it's white, meaning it's the same color blue as tcheles, but halachically it doesn't have the status of tcheles. So for the most part, we view it halachically as white. However, over here, the Gemara quotes a bright, a really interesting halacha. That let's say I have the talus, which is kulo tcheles. And so, what color strings can I put on? Any color strings you want. Now, we already discussed where if it's a white beged, so you have to put white strings on, meaning, of course, you have to also put tchelas on as well, when there was a time when there was tchelas, but you got to put white strings on, and when you start winding, you got to start winding white because you have to have the windings match the beged. But what we're learning here together is that when the beged is made up of another color, so you could use whatever color you want in terms of attaching the tzitzis. You can't use kala ilan, but why can't you use kala ilan? So over here, Rashi actually takes us through two totally separate pshatim in terms of how to understand the Gemara over here. I'm going to side with Rashi's second pshat. Rashi himself favors the second pshat, and so therefore I'm going to present it. But keep in mind, and this is homework for tonight, keep in mind that I'm skipping over an entire pshat of Rashi. I'm only going with one of Rashi's two pshatim in the Gemara over here. In Rashi's second pshat, he says like this. He says that basically there is a requirement, there's an obligation that your tzitzit should be a composite of two different colors. In other words, generally speaking, those two different colors are going to be white and blue. That's usually what it's going to look like. But it really needs to be a composite of two separate colors. There has to be some sort of contrast of color in the strings that you wear. Now, where exactly does that come from? It's not perfectly clear. It could just for simply be that that's how tzitzis lichatchila should be made. Granted, the colors, the Torah is very clear about the colors, blue and white, but in other words, but it has to be a contrast of two colors. If I have a garment made of tchelas and I have strings and I attach kala ilan strings to the garment, so I have no contrast. Because kala ilan color is exactly the same color as the tchelas garment itself, and so therefore I'm lacking the contrast, and that's why it's no good. Admittedly, by the way, it's a little bit strange with this pshat because, you know, in our day and age where we're wearing white garment and white strings and it's all white, so we don't have the contrast altogether, but okay. In other words, that goes back to the beginning of the perek, that tchelas is not ma'akev lovin, lovin is not ma'akev tchelas, but okay. Anyway, so that's the way Rashi explains the Gemara. So, talis ein potaba lamine tal shekula tchelas, maybe, I'm sorry. Tal shekula tchelas, I'm third line down, kol min itzivonim pochim ba chutz mekala ilan. So you could put any strings you want, of any color that you want, with exception to kala ilan, because again, you're lacking that contrast that I described. Meitzvah, the Gemara quotes another brisa, which is going to be seemingly in conflict. Talas in poter ba elamina. Talas shekula tchelas, maybe tchelas, v'dava acher, v'tola ba. V'kala ilan lo yavi v'im hevi kasher. So in this brisa, once again, the brisa also entertains the discussion of having a talas made up of tchelas, and what kind of strings can I put on? So basically, once again, You put on tchelas v'davar acher. It doesn't necessarily have to be white, but you need some sort of contrast. And here the braisa caps off by saying, and don't put kala ila on the strings, but if you do, it's okay. Now in the previous braisa, in the first braisa, we said it's not okay at all. In this braisa, we're saying that it's okay. The amar of nach meyitzik lokash kam betalas basar bachutim kam betalas bashmonachutim. And the Gemara says it just simply depends whether or not we have four or eight strings on every corner. Four or eight strings of every corner. Now, how many strings do we need in every corner? So we already said this numerous times. Four. Four strings. Of course, they're double over. They turn into eight. But I need four strings in every corner. What's the difference between four and eight in the context of this particular Gemara over here? Rashi explains. And again, I'm going with Rashi's second pshat, not the first pshat. Rashi can be found towards the bottom of the Amud. Rashi, Meitzvei v'chula imhevi kashir. Rashi is more than halfway down in the column. Talas bashmona chutim dal shel tchelas min acher ubikish la'atol ba od arba acherim lo yato kala ilan. What happens now is that I have a talas made up of four strings, and let's say it's tchelas and lavan, blue and white. And when I say blue over here, I mean the real blue tchelas. And now I'm going to put on another four strings. Now again, this gets us back to our Baal Tosif discussion, which the Gemara is simply not fazed by. And I know in yesterday's Gemara, the Gemara entertained the discussion about Tosif, and we have to make some sort of distinction between yesterday's Gemara and today's Gemara, right? And I know I'm bypassing a lot of issues, and I apologize for doing so. But the basic idea is that I got a corner, it's got four strings, two white and two tchelas, and now you put another four strings on. And those next four strings are kala ilan, so now that's going to be a problem. Why? Rashi explains. Shemim karen elisha acher v'yesav v'shem tchelas. V'yatirim mikan v'yitim b'talas acheres b'makom tchelas im lavan. V'im hevi kasher. Da nifter ba'ar b'chutin shol tchelas v'davar acher. So lichachili shouldn't do it. Because somebody else is going to look at your tzitzis, right? Checking out your tzitzis. Oh, that's very nice. You have a lot of blue over there. You know, you don't need all those strings. In other words, you only need four strings, so do me a favor, let me take some of the blue strings. Now, he's not going to know that's Kala Ilan, he's going to think it's Tcheles, because you are, in fact, wearing. Your first four strings were two white and two Tcheles, so he'll think that the next four are going to be Tcheles, and he's going to be taking them, unbeknownst to him, that it's not Tcheles. In other words, he thinks it's Tcheles. Good. So under those circumstances, that's why lechatchila would be a problem. If you're only wearing four strings in every corner, no one's going to want to take any of the strings, because that's what you need. You need the four strings. Okay, Itmar. Shmamina, I'm sorry, I skipped a little bit. Yes, I did. So the Shmamina, Matir mi begila begid. So the Gemara says, okay, and again, an incidental point, which now the Gemara is going to turn into a bigger deal, is that clearly in this whole discussion, what are we concerned about? Transferring the tzitzis from one garment to another garment, seemingly that's fine. The Gemara says the i'avad, and the Gemara says no, it's not. I don't think we can conclude that way. Maybe the Bryce is just entertaining the idea that if you went ahead and you did it, then it would be a concern. But lichatchila, you shouldn't do it. Itmar, and here we get to the discussion. We saw this back in Shabbos. We're going to get to see it again. In Shabbos, we saw it on the Chanukah sugyas, because as we're going to see, one of the issues is a Chanukah issue, right? There are three issues over here being discussed. One is a Shabbos issue, one is a Chanukah issue, and one is a Tzitzis issue. So these Gemaras are found where Chanukah is discussed, where Shabbos is discussed, and now where Tzitzis is discussed. Okay, so three machloksim between Rav and Shmuel all put together. The three don't necessarily go together, but they're put together. Machlok is number one. Rav Amar in Matir mi Begad LaBegad. You can't take Tzitzis from one Begad and attach it to another Begad. Again, Bizayin on Mitzvah. It's not a nice way to treat mitzvahs, to just simply take one beged which has tzitzis on it, and even though I'm taking the tzitzis for another beged, but now I'm removing the mitzvah from this beged. Not nice. Okay, and Shmuel, I'm sorry, Rav Amar Ein Matir Mi Beged LaBeged, Shmuel Amar Matir Mi Beged LaBeged, and Shmuel says it's fine, and I guess the argument for Shmuel, if I could just construct a simple argument for Shmuel, it's not a bizayin mitzvah when I'm taking the tzitzis and putting it onto another beged. Okay, so in other words, it's a zero-sum game, right? This one had tzitzis, this one doesn't. Now this one doesn't, this one does. Okay, so if I just making a simple argument for Shmuel. Okay.
Making a new tzitzis.
Right, okay, yeah. Rav Amar Ein Malikim Miner LaNer, Shmuel Amar Malikim Miner LaNer. Now this could be a very related issue, and that is on Chanukah, right? So I'm lighting Neros, and we know, Mehadrim and Mehadrim, I'm lighting more than one Ner. So, can I light from another Ner? So I'm using a mitzvah to facilitate another mitzvah. Is that okay or is that not okay? So once again, machlok is between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says no. And Shmuel says it would be fine. And Rav Amar, Ein halachika Rabbi Shimon Begreira, Shmuel Amar, halachika Rabbi Shimon Begreira. Can I drag a bench on the floor, on the ground on Shabbos, even though it may make a groove? Now we know this is a davar she'eino miskaven. It's my intention is not to make a groove, and it's not a psik reisha. It's not definitely going to make a groove. It may make a groove, and so this is a classic example of davar she'eino miskaven. We know it's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that davar she'eino miskaven is aser, and Rabbi Shimon says it's mutar legamre. And so the Amoraim here debate, Rav and Shmuel debate whether or not the halacha falls like Rabbi Shimon or not like Rabbi Shimon. Are we makel by davar she'eino miskaven? Amar Abai Kamila Damar Avid Karav. Now Abai once again quotes his master. His master's Rabba. Right? Rabba raised Abaye, Rabba taught Abaye. So when I watch my Rebbe, Rabba, so in terms of halacha, he always sided with Rav, or I should say better, almost always sided with Rav. Labar mihani tlas, except for three instances. De Avik Shmuel, where he fought like Shmuel, and they are the three issues we just discussed. One, matirim mi beged labeged, two, madlikim min ner laner, and three, valachika Rebbe Shimon Begreira. On these three issues, so Abaye attests and accounts to the fact that his Rebbe, Rabba, follows like Shmuel on these three instances, even though under normal circumstances, he goes like Rav. Okay, and let's just do a little bit more Gemara for this morning. And the Gemara is going to now conclude with a couple of halachic points. So now, you are concerned. When you hand your tzitzis over to the launder, you are concerned that what's going to end up happening is he's going to take your tcheles blue strings and he's going to sub them out for maybe other strings which are, let's say, for example, kala ilan. When you get the tzitzis back, how are you going to know? Now, that's not your first concern when you hand something to the launder. You're also concerned that he's going to ruin everything, but Let's assume that he knows what he's doing. He's just afraid that he's going to sub him out. So the Amoraim did various things in order to protect their tzitzis. Rav Yehuda Masa Lelakatzra. Now Rav Yehuda did nothing, meaning he wasn't concerned. Rav Chanina Avelei Sisa. Rav Chanina, when he would give his tzitzis over to the launder, so he would fold them over and he would put them in some sort of pouch. Ravina Chayle Mecha. Now Ravina was the most concerned. And what he did is he actually stitched up his tzitzis into a pouch so that they would be pretty much inaccessible. And if the launder got to them, it was clear that it was tampered with. So you see a range of positions amongst the Amoraim. How concerned were they of protecting their tchela strings when handing it to the launder? Tanu Rabbanan. This will be a good place to stop. We're going to be talking about the Shiurim of Tzitzis. So tomorrow we'll start with the Shiurim of Tzitzis. A quick recap. In the course of this morning's daf, we talked about, once again, the halacha Rabbi Zeira of adding an additional pair of tzitzis to the four corners of the garment that already have four pairs of tzitzis. And now you add another four sets of tzitzis. That's matel and mutalis. We discussed in yesterday's daf. We discussed in today's daf as well. Rabbi Zeira said it one time. The other time was just simply a deduction. A fold in the talus, is that when that fold is now creating a new corner, is that going to be obligated in tzitzis? If it's not stitched, it's a debate. If it's stitched up, everyone agrees. Is the tzitzis a chovas gavra or a chovas beged? One of the classic discussions that takes place in the mitzvah of tzitzis, a machlokus amongst the Amoraim, and a malach weighs in on the discussion. Unusual that we have that, but the malach weighs in. We learn from today's daf that a person should go out of his way to put himself in a position where he would be obligated in tzitzis. Hence, we have the custom, an old custom, of a talis katan. The Gemara quotes a discussion of whether or not tzitzis should go on the tachrichin for a mace. The Gemara clearly says yes, based on the principle of loig larash, and a discussion we did not have, but a really important discussion of, well, how do you understand that in lieu of the idea that when you're walking through a basic verse, you should be hiding your tzitzis. And the more discussion this morning on Tasav Lamana Asui, what happens if the corner gets ripped? Where does the corner get ripped is significant. The discussion in the Gemara of a contrasting strings, meaning if your beged is not white and you're wearing another color garment, so should what should the strings look like? A discussion in contrasting colors of strings. And then finally, the end of the discussion today is, can I take tzitzis from one beged and attach it to another beged? So is it a bizayon mitzvah? Is it not a bizayon mitzvah? Machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara on this favors the position of Shmuel. Normally speaking, we fall like Rav, but since Abaye accounts that his Rebbe, Rabbah, falls like Shmuel in these three halachas, so in these three halachas, the halacha, in fact, falls like Shmuel.